instructions vary according to time and place and who the guru is. Bhakti Santa Saraswati is saying in his Upadeshavali that unless one chants a lack of rounds, that Krishna doesn't accept your bhog offering. Yeah. So then we might as well pack up our just eat potato chips and cookies and forget about offering, because in the next 100 lives we'll not be qualified to offer. So now how does this fit with what Krishna says? Because Krishna says in Gita, he says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti priyachati. Saraham bhakti paritam ashnami prayatatmanaha. He offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water. I accept, right? Krishna says, Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So he's saying like that, and he doesn't say, he says, yome bhakti prayachati. Bhog or bhakti kesat, Krishna samarpan. So Krishna is only saying that he wants bhakti priyachati. It must be mixed with bhakti. He doesn't say anything about 16 rounds. And then when he starts talking about chanting in the same book, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna talks about chanting or glorification, when he says talks about glorification of himself or chanting, he says, he uses the word kirti, right? Kirti means glorification. And he says, Satatam kirtiyantamam yatantash cha dridavrata. Satatam kirtiyantamam, sat kirtan. My kirtan should go on eternally. Sat, satchitananda. And should always go on. Akanda kirtan, akanda, no break. Akanda. Akanda nam, akanda guru tattva. So, in one sense, Krishna is saying more than 64 rounds. And he's saying all day and all night, 24 hours. Chobis Ganta Kirtan. Chobis Ganta Jap. Because 64 rounds is only 4 hours. Bhakti, Haridas Thakur was chanting 192 rounds. It took him about 12 to 15 hours. 16 rounds an hour. That's quite fast. Yeah. We usually go about half speed. Very slow processor. Outdated computer. Very slow speed. So the point that Krishna is saying is that bhakti must be there. So offering is there, bhakti is there, chanting should be done with devotion, so that chanting is devotional or full of bhakti. But as I mentioned, in time and place and circumstance, the detail changes, but the principle doesn't. We have to offer, that's the principle. We have to chant Krishna's name, that's the principle. Right? So 1920s, and 90 years ago, the principle was chant the holy name and offer, make offerings. And in 2007, the principle of bhakti is, of bhakti sadhan, is to chant the holy name and offer bhog. But the detail that the gurus, the Mahajanacharyas, the detail they have given us, they've modified the detail, but they haven't changed the principle. Principles never change. Gita was written 5,000 years ago. Krishna is saying, offer me with love and chant Hare Krishna. And 1932, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying, chant Hare Krishna and offer Krishna with love. In 2007, Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and his followers, they're saying, chant Hare Krishna and offer your bhog to Krishna with love. But the details slightly modified, they're saying that Krishna will accept your offering if you chant 16 rounds. Krishna doesn't accept anything except something offered by a pure devotee. Even if a pure devotee doesn't chant one round, if he's a pure devotee and offers something to Krishna, Krishna will take it. How many rounds a day does Radharani chant? 16? 64? And she's offering things directly to Krishna. She's cooking for Krishna every morning at 7 o'clock, Nandagaon. And she's cooking every evening in her house at 6 o'clock to send sweets to his house for his evening repast. So Radharani is always cooking, and she's offering, and no one can make a better offering than Radharani. And she's not chanting 16 rounds a day. And she's not chanting 64. So what does that mean? Krishna won't accept her offering? But she's, of course, chanting Krishna's name, singing Krishna's name with great love. And she's offering a pure devotion. Because she's a pure devotee, the purest devotee, Krishna gladly and happily accepts everything that she makes. So the real principle is purity of heart, devotion. This is, Krishna, I'm making what you like and make for your pleasure and offering it for your happiness. I'm not offering you what I like for my pleasure and hope that you'll take it. I like rajma and pizza and chow mein and ice cream all in one meal. So you please, Krishna, you take it. It's nice. You'll like it. It's good for you. So that's some kind of offering. Radharani, she cooks exactly what Krishna wants and exactly the way he likes it and offers it and dips every offering into her heart. She coats every offering with her heart, and then after coating the offering with her heart, then she offers to Krishna. So Krishna eats, he actually takes our love, not our food. So these details that change the Upadeshavali, the row or series of Upadesh, avali means a row of or a series of or a group of. The details of Siddhanta Saraswati's Upadesh are somewhat changed. You know, there's Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhupada Upadeshavali, then there's also A.C. Bhaktivedanta Upadeshavali. So he would say, if one doesn't chant 16 rounds a day, then Krishna doesn't accept his offerings. Because actually, as I started to mention, the offerings don't go, the holy name doesn't send our offerings to the Lord. And our devotion doesn't send the offering to the Lord. But our guru sends the offering to the Lord. So if we please the guru, and everything we do in puja, we have to go through the guru. Even if you have Saki Sarup, Siddhadeya in spiritual world, if you're Mandri Sarup, even then you go through guru. There's no direct flights, non-stop flights, direct. They have to stop at the feet of guru. All flights have to stop there. And from there you can go with Agya, Guru Agya, and do your seva to Radhika or Lalita, Rupa Mandri or whomever. So, even on the highest end, we're approaching Radha Rani, specifically Radha, through Guru. We go and collect some flowers, some jui flowers and bela. And then we make some nice garland with love and devotion. Very beautiful, attractive garland. And then we don't just, oh, Radharani, this is for you. No, then we go to Gurudev, our Guru Sakhi. Say, oh, Guru Sakhi, oh, Manjari, please, you know, is this garland okay? Can you offer this garland to Radharani? And Guru will say, oh, this garland is nice, but where are the Tulsi Manjaris? Did you forget that Krishna likes garlands with Tulsi Manjaris? Oh no, I didn't forget, but I was making this garland for Radharani. No, but don't you know, Radharani, Radharani will be pleased with a garland, but she'll be more pleased if she gets Krishna's Mahaprasad, Prasadi Mala from Krishna. So better you go and do it again. Acha tige. So then you go and you make a garland again. So many flowers, then some manjari, then so many flowers, then some manjari, and so many flowers and manjari. Like this. And then you come back to Guru Sakhi and say, here, how about this? Oh, this is very good. Now I'll give this garland to Rupa Manjari. And then Rupa Manjari comes and then, oh, this is very nice, I'll give this to Lita. Then Lita says, this is very nice, I'll give this to Radharani. Then Radharani says, oh, this is very nice. Very nice garland. It's made very nicely. Lalita, who has made this garland? Oh, I don't know. I got this from so-and-so. From so-and-so Mandri. Acha. No, I want to know who made this garland. You find out. So then Lalita asks Rupa, and Rupa asks Guru Sakhi, and Guru Sakhi says, oh, Radharani wants to see you. Because I don't know why, but you go. So then Radharani goes, you go to see Radharani. She said, oh, you made such a nice garland. This is I couldn't make such a nice garland myself. Now I'm going to offer this garland to Krishna when I meet him at Radhakund. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy with your offering me this garland that I'm going to give you something special. So then Radharani, she in a fold of her sari around her waist where she rolled her sari down, she takes out and she says, this is my ankle bell. This fell off last night in the Kunj when I was with Krishna. And I kept this for you. You keep this. So then the Manjari is so happy. But everything is called anugatya. Sakhi anugatya or guru anugatya goes in sequence. A chain. There is a chain. A service chain. Parampara. How do we follow Upadesh Avali of Bhakti Santa Saraswati? We don't. We follow Guru Upadesh Avali. You follow the spirit. In other words, you don't follow the letter of the law, the spirit of the law. Because our Guru Maharaj, he was chanting 64 rounds a day, but he tried in the beginning to get the disciples chant 64 rounds. I was just reading some notes, and then they couldn't do that very well. It's a letter from Prabhupada. I am very glad to learn that you are chanting 48 rounds a day. Actually, it is all right that one should chant 64 rounds, even 16 rounds. So if one is able to chant more than 16 rounds, up to 64, it is very good. You fix up your rounds. Try to increase, but never decrease it. This is a letter to Indira in 17th of December 1967. So right in the beginning, Prabhupada's sending letters to people. And this person, and telling her to chant. Here's a letter to one of his disciples in Los Angeles, Bhakti John. This is 1968. I shall advise you again to chant always, increasing the counting. Namely, 16 rounds is generally prescribed. But for the time being, you can stop all other activities and increase the chanting to 64 rounds. Follow the rules and regulations strictly. If you want sex life, you are at liberty to get yourself married. But don't have illicit sex with some of Maya's representative. Some brahmacharya, I guess, he was disturbed, so he told him to increase his chanting. Stop all their activities and chant 64 rounds a day. If you still can't get over this thing, then get married. This is another one, listen. Also, Bhakti John is there in New York. He may be nicely treated as he has come back, so he will understand the philosophy nicely. Oh, I guess this person... Yeah, this is a few days later. Apparently what had happened, if you put it all together, this person, Bhakti John Das, in 1968, he had left. And he came back and probably told him to chant 64 rounds. Bhakti John is there in New York. He may be nicely treated as he has come back, so he will understand the philosophy nicely. I have asked him to chant 64 rounds instead of 16. That was a letter to Brahmananda on February 15th. 3 days after the other letter. And this is a letter to Hansa Duda, 1969. Yes, it is very good if you can chant 64 rounds. This is very nice if you can do it. So the devotees in the early days, now, it's very funny, because now if someone in Delhi or somewhere else in ISKCON, if they say, oh, I want to chant 64 rounds a day, and then someone will say, oh, that Prabhupada didn't say that. Only 16 rounds, chant 16 rounds and go out and collect money or whatever, do puja. And then, Prabhupada never said like that. The whole emphasis, the basic emphasis is, well, don't chant 64 rounds. Just chant 16. And if you even mention 64, hey, who said this? Where did you get this idea? This is not right. This is not Prabhupada's ISKCON. It's 64 rounds. What is this? But if we look at the actual history of the movement, 1966, 67, 68, because there was so much emphasis by Prabhupada, and when his first instructions, you can ask Mukunda Goswami, because he was first initiation. Prabhupada had asked him, he asked Hayagriva, he said, now everyone has to chant 64 rounds, so they were trying. And he said, well, we can't do it, it takes all day. And then he said, okay, 32. And he said, it takes almost all day. So he said, okay, 16, like this. And that's minimum. So there, you can see, from 66, 67, 68, all the way up to 69, the disciples were, they knew that Prabhupada's real desire is that we chant 64 rounds. So each in their own way, they were trying to increase their chanting and chant 64 rounds, and they're writing letters to Prabhupada. These are Prabhupada's answers, which means they're writing him a letter, which you don't see in the letters book. Oh, Prabhupada, I've increased to 64 rounds and I'm still doing my service. Oh, that's very good. And then you hear all these, yes, very good. He's not saying, who told you to do that? Why are you doing that? Just chant 16 rounds and go on to Sankirtan. He didn't say that. Because Bhakti Santa Saraswati, you know, he told. Because in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, if one doesn't chant 64 rounds, then I won't accept. He said, lakpati. A lakpati. He won't accept any food unless someone's a lakpati. So Prabhupada, of course, Bhaktivedanta has made some concession. We shouldn't be satisfied with less. Just like if someone's making money, they're never satisfied with less money. They want more money. You're doing this computer work for how much you're getting? 6,000 rupees. Oh, if you work for me, I'll give you 10,000. No, I'm okay. 6,000 is nice. No, you'll drop that job in a second and do the same work for 10,000. More, everyone wants more. But when it comes to chanting or bhajan, bhakti bhajan, then we want less. We want to do less. So you can hear from this, we have some idea that if we can try to chant more rounds, that's a good idea. Actually, since we're talking about japa, the other day I had sent something I wrote in here. Realizations. This is my notebook. This is Nam Tattva. This is all things about Nam. I have different notebooks for different subjects. This is about the holy name. Some realization I had. We must always chant the holy name, either consciously or mentally, no matter what we're doing. We have to search out for the holy name. Because due to different circumstances and different engagements, we get separated and lost from the holy name as we move through our daily activities. As our heart is always beating in the background, but we're only aware of its sound when we're in a quiet place, perhaps at night before we sleep or lying in bed, we can hear the sound of our heart. But our heart is always beating in the background, even though we can't hear it. If it stops beating, we're dead. If the heart stops beating. So similarly, the holy name should always be vibrating in the background of our hearts and mind. And the background of our mind. Even while we're doing so many different activities. While we're chanting japa on the beads, we have to tie down Krishna. While we're chanting japa with the beads, we tie down Krishna with the rope of our mala. The mala becomes like a rope, like Damodar, and we can tie down Krishna. We have him. He's there. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He's there. He's in front of us. He's in the foreground. We haven't lost him. He's with us. Hare Krishna. We tie him down with our mala. But when we finished our chanting, our Sankhya Jap, our counting is finished. Then we set down our beads and then we tend to lose connection with the Holy Name. We become separated from Him. We become separated from the Holy Name. He seems to evaporate in the ethers of forgetfulness. But it should not be like this. We should not forget the holy name. We must repeatedly search for him during the day. We must look for him and search for him by chanting softly or mentally during our different daily duties and chores. We can ask ourselves at different times of the day, "Oh, holy name, where are you? Where have you gone? I haven't chanted you for many minutes or hours. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Please forgive me for forgetting you. Please stay with me and don't run away. Please don't leave my mind or heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." So that was small. I write down these things. Realization I had the other day is that because our relationship is formal. Our relationship with the Holy Name is formal and is established by putting our hands on the beads and moving around the beads and counting Sankhya. 1, 2, 3, so many rounds. It's like when a man marries a woman, he slips a ring on her finger, and then he says, "You're my wife," or "Now you're married." So that ring is a symbol that there's a bondage. But if it's only a ring on the finger, then throughout the day you're not thinking of him, or remembering him, or trying to remember him. You may be doing so many things, and there's not much relationship. It's only a ring. So if we only slip our hands around the beads for 2 hours, and then we have a 2-hour relationship with the Holy Name, and then the rest of the time it's relationship with everything but the Holy Name, then we've forgotten the Lord. And the Lord for us is the Holy Name. There's no other Lord for us. Krishna means His Holy Name. Radha means her Holy Name. This is it. We have no other introduction to Radha and Krishna but their holy names. We have no other relationship with Radha and Krishna but their holy names. We have no other connection with Radha and Krishna except their holy names. And we have no other service to Radha and Krishna but their holy names. And our love, or whatever, our developing of love, is based on our repetition of the holy names of Krishna and Radha in the Maha Mantra. So it's like you have a relationship with your husband, so you lie in bed and you embrace him. And that's for 1 hour, then you fall asleep. And then you get up and he goes his way and you go your way. So you're physically in contact for 1 hour, and then after that you forget. So we're like with Krishna for 2 hours. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Really trying, Hare Krishna. Then after that, everything's shut down. Beads are shut down, hand is shut down, tongue is shut down, mind is shut down, ears are shut down. Everything is shut down. Then it's who won the cricket match and where did you buy that sari, that's nice cloth, and oh, where did you get this and where did you buy that, and are you going to so-and-so's wedding, or what dress are you going to wear? Oh, I don't know, I have to buy a new one, blah, blah, blah. And all that goes on, but there's no chanting. And that goes on. We have to move through the world and do our duties. This is the point I'm making. No matter what we're doing, we have to search out for the Holy Name. Find Him. Where is He? Am I with Him? Am I separated from Him? Or am I with Him? Am I remembering Him? So this point I was mentioning to someone on the telephone. Spontaneously this came up, and then afterwards I wrote it down in my notebook. It was from Bombay, Sukhapriya Das. He was appreciating it. Especially like the analogy of heartbeat. It's a very nice analogy. Analogy means comparison. As our heart is always going on, but we're not aware of it. It's silently working. So we should always be connected, as our heart is always beating and connecting us with life in this body. So we should always be connected with Krishna's name and have life in our spiritual body. The name is a heartbeat for the spiritual body. Just as the heart is beating life into the material body, the Holy Name is beating life into the spiritual body. Soul beat. Soul beat. Boom, 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 boom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Lub dub, lub dub. The heart is chanting some crazy mantra, lub dub. Lub dub. Maybe after some time it chants Radha, Radha, lub dub. Lub dub. Usually they say it's lub dub, lub dub, lub dub. But so we have to search. It's always been a background. We're driving and then there's chanting in our mind. We're walking, we're cooking. It's nice. This is a symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. That we lament the separation from our Lord. Vilap. There's a sense of vilap when we're separated. Seeing everything in connection with Krishna and remembering Krishna from moment to moment. But the best, the easiest way to do all of that is to keep connection with the holy name. As the heart is always beating and maintaining our life, so the name should always be going on. It's a yoga. Yoga means the art of connecting with God. This is yoga. Yoga means union, connection. The art of connecting with God. So it goes by vibration. Mind vibrating, heart vibrating, name, nam vibrating. Our Chaitanya was in Puri, Jagannath Puri. I neglected to tell this pastime during the yatra, but that's a good pastime. So Lord Chaitanya went to a field to pass urine, which is some transcendental pastime because his body is totally spiritual. But at any rate, while he was doing that activity, passing, he was holding on his tongue. With his fingers of his right hand, he was holding his tongue. And there was a young boy there, his name was Gopal. And Gopal saw Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding his tongue. And he was rather surprised. What is he doing? What is this saintly person doing? Very effulgent, an attractive sannyasi. And he said, "Excuse me, what are you doing? You're in the field, passing, and you're holding on your tongue." He said, "Oh, little boy, the problem is that when I'm I can't stop my tongue from chanting Hare Krishna. My tongue won't stop; it just keeps moving. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare." And when you go past you know, stool or urine, then you shouldn't chant. You should keep quiet. The Smriti Shastra says that when you eat or when you pass stool or urine, you should keep quiet. You shouldn't speak anything. This is an injunction from Veda. One should eat silently and speak pass stool and urine quite silently, not talking. Hey, blah, blah, blah. So I'm doing like that, trying to observe that Vedic injunction. And then he said, I'm afraid if I'm chanting, then the name will become contaminated. Then the little boy, Gopal, he said, "Oh, the holy name is a papavidham. It is purifying. It is free from all sin. You don't have to worry about that. The holy name can never be contaminated. So what are you worried about? You know that. Besides that, you know, you can leave your body anytime. Many people leave their body when they're passing stool or urine or whatever. Or when they pass stool after that, when they're, you know, whatever." So he said, what if you leave your body, you die at that time while you're passing, and then you're not remembering the Lord? Ante Narayana Smriti. Ante Narayana Smriti. Remembering Narayana at the time of death. Then what will happen to you? And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, Gopal, you're actually very smart. You're very smart. Boy, you're giving me some good teachings." That, because Gopal said, "You just keep chanting, don't worry about it. You don't have to hold your tongue, just let go of your tongue and let it go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he said, you've given me very good teaching. Actually, you're quite correct. One could die at any moment, and there's no clean or unclean place for the holy name. Niyamata smarani nakala. Niyamata smarani nakala. There's no time, kala, or niyam. Rules and regulations for smaran. Niyamata smarani kala. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name of the Lord, so you're quite correct. So you're Gopal, but you're a child, but you're like a guru. So you're like Gopal Guru. So that boy was born in a Brahmin family. He was in a Goswami family. So when he grew up, he became known as Gopal Guru Goswami. And his samadhi is in Puri, I suppose. He left his body in Puri. Gopal Guru Goswami. And he's very famous because he was a disciple of Vrakreshwara Pandit. He took initiation from Vrakreshwara Pandit. And his deity was Radhakant. You saw? You were in Puri?
No.
Oh, you didn't go to Puri? Oh, true. His deity was Radhakant. And that's where Lord Chaitanya stayed, in Kashi Mishra's house. Kashi Mishra became, he had that deity in his house. And Vrakreshwara Pandit was worshipping that deity in Gopal Guru. And Gopal Guru's disciple was Dhyan Chandra Goswami. Dhyan Chandra, he wrote a book called Gaur Govindas Smarana Padati. Very famous book about bhajan, Raghunuga bhajan, and meditation, all these things. So there, Lord Chaitanya, he was so much fortunate. He couldn't stop his tongue from chanting. And we can't get our tongue to chant. We can't get it going. We can't get our tongue to going. Get our tongue moving. It's always stopped. Yeah, it's not stopped. It's stopped in terms of chanting, but it's moving in terms of talking nonsense. So any other questions? What is your idea? What is your response to this little realization I said? Is the holy name should always be in the background, just like the heartbeat is always in the background. We're not aware of it, we're not conscious of it. But so we should get to this stage where the holy name is always going. In fact, there's that pastime some of the devotees, the old Prabhupada disciples, tell from Bombay. I don't remember who it was, but one devotee told a respectable devotee, I can't remember whom, but at Prabhupada's Tirubhav Utsav in Kartik, one devotee came and told the story how Prabhupada was in his room, in a room conversation. There were many Indian gentlemen there at the time. And Prabhupada was discussing with his disciples and signing checks and saying, take this money from this account and put it in that account, and call Dai Nippon in Tokyo about the shipment of Bhagavatam books to Los Angeles, and tell that person who's delivering the steel that this steel is inferior for the construction of Bombay Temple, and all these things, so very seemingly material things. An Indian gentleman was saying, Swamiji, I have one question. And I see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling about the symptoms of advanced saintly persons. And he says in this ninth chapter, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam, that saintly people are always chanting Krishna's glories. But I've been here for a half hour and you're simply talking cement and steel and books and checks and money and transfer. And I don't see you're chanting anything. Doesn't seem like any chanting going on. So of course he was a little offensive, actually. The Prabhupada said, well, really, why don't you come here? Put your ear on my back. This is a story they tell. I heard it in a Prabhupada in Vrindavan temple. So then this Indian Life member, this rather doubting Thomas Life member, he went to Prabhupada's back and he put his head over there and he put his ear to his back, and then he heard inside Prabhupada's chest cavity, he heard, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Krishna. Going on like this. And then a man, he said, oh, there's the holy, the chanting, you're chanting inside, the chanting's going on. There's a japa box inside Prabhupada's heart. You know, your body is a japa box. Prabhupada chanting japa, live, lifetime, real, three-dimensional, conscious. Not some battery box or whatever it is, electric japa box. So then the man was duly convinced that actually Prabhupada is always chanting Hare Krishna internally and externally. So in this way, somehow we have to search, we have to make a conscious effort to search for the holy name. Because we get separated and lost from the holy name as we move through the daily activities. As our heart is always beating in the background, but we're only aware of its sound when in a quiet place. Perhaps at night, before sleep, while lying in bed, we can hear the sound of our heart. So the holy name should be going. And if you're like that, then so many wonderful things come out of your mind and out of your voice. Oftentimes when people call me on the phone, as soon as they call me, you know, I'm reminded, oh, I have to chant Hare Krishna. So I start chanting Hare Krishna. I'm listening, they're saying this and that. Are you listening? I say, Hare Krishna. I saw Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj in the last months of his life. He was in Puri, he left his body in Puri. And his ashram there. And he was in what they call Samadhi. His disciples called Samadhi. But an ordinary person says some type of coma. But he's lying on his bed, and his hand was going like this. He didn't talk. They had a tube in his, he had one tube in his nose for air, like oxygen, and some machine, like going all the time. Another tube, the tube was there, and that was went down to his stomach. And then they would have this like injector thing, you know, like a pitch curry thing, you know, plunger. They make up pudding and stuff, and then they would put that inside that and go down and keep him alive. But he was just not, he was unconscious. He would pass stool in the bed and everything, they would clean it up. He was just 24 hours like this. But this is always going like this. No beads, just like this. And that, he was like that for about 2 months, 3 months, nothing. Then all of a sudden he woke up in about 1 o'clock, or maybe around Ras Lila time, in the 1 o'clock at night, 1:30 at night. He said, she's here. I like that. And then a servant was there around Gopal, and he woke up the other servants. And he was like still like in trance, eyes closed. And they yelled, Guru Maharaj, and we can't really hear, he's like in this trance. And, Guru Maharaj, who's here? She's here. Radharani, no, and he said something, no, and he said, then, you know, Gurudev, no, and then I forget, I think they said Lord Gauranga or something. No, they said different thing. He said he's here or something like that. So then he was saying he or she, whatever. And they said Gurudev, and he said no, and I said Lord Chaitanya, said, no. They're saying different things. And he said, Radha. He said, Radha. And then he went quiet. And again, he went back and didn't say anything. Is that really? So that's why they thought it was some special samadhi type thing.
Very aggressive, like lying.
What is that? How does that feel? Well, the Bhakti Sandha Saraswati said he totalitarian war. Tutalian war against illusion or something like that. Marching. There's so many great poetic phrases of Sri Arswami used. One has to, as Prabhupada said, preach according to his realizations and according to whatever your nature is. You know, that's your nature. You know, a lion can't become an ant and an ant can't become a lion. So you can't imitate. Prabhupada, we have to follow Prabhupada. Our Prabhupada, you know, he's our immediate connection with the Paramparas, Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada, and Bhaktivedanta Swami. And he said that we should preach according to our realizations. And he said, purity is the force. Follow purely and serve purely, then you can speak very mildly and softly and move mountains. Cyanide doesn't make any noise. If I have a liter of cyanide, if I have 10 liters of cyanide, and I put it in a Radhakund water tank, then everybody in Radhakund will die. 12,000 people will die when they drink the water. Very quiet. Very effective. Total annihilation. So it's purity. It's the backing that counts. I remember in a similar vein, when I used to distribute books in Los Angeles at the airport, there was one devotee there, book distributor, I forget his name actually. He's really quiet. He's really, really quiet. And I used to, because we were all scattered here and there on the airport, and we'd look around, whenever you saw a godbrother, as they said, hitting someone up, that was a phrase they used. Hitting someone up was a way, meant meeting someone, giving them a book and getting a donation, but term ISKCON colloquial language, I'll go hit that guy up. And literally that means hitting means you go like this. But when he's accosting someone, meeting someone. So if someone was selling a book, then you would look, you get enthused. So I remember seeing this devotee, people would just stop. You know, he wouldn't say, we would do so many tricks and say, excuse me, sir, like this, snap our fingers, and so many tricks that we learned from each other and realized ourselves to stop people running so fast through the airport. Sir, excuse me, did you hear that? Yeah, put your bags down. The guy goes, what? He puts his bag down. Because they're making announcements all the time in the airport. All these, attention, anyone traveling this flight, it's canceled or whatever. And if you don't hear it, then you're out of it, you know, because they don't make signs. It's just that flight is canceled. It's been switched to Terminal 10, you know, and you're at Terminal 7. You know. Oh, that flight left from Terminal, didn't you hear the announcement? So they're really like tense about announcements in America. And so the guy's going, hey, sir, excuse me, did you hear the announcement? Yeah, put down your bags. They got these two bags, and you have to, they're going running like this, and you have to give, you want them to carry the Bhagavatam. He's here, take this, and then he's got this Bhagavatam. And he says, you know, he's all bewildered because he doesn't know, because you're wearing a suit, a tie, and a jacket, and you have a little badge. It says ISKCON. He thinks you're an airport executive or something. He just says ISKCON, Hare Krishna. He says, sir, hey, scoop, sir. You know, and the guy just puts it all together and thinks you're some official, and he stops. See, we're passing these out to everybody. Then you talk really soft. You know, first you go, sir, hey. And you stop him, and then you give, see, this is a very important book, blah, blah, blah. This, that. I just give $10. He goes, hey, what's going on? And then he's got this book, and he says he doesn't want to do it. And he goes, well, where'd I put it? I got to get my flight. And he says, well, no, just put it on your arm. So I had so many guys, I put the book like this. I said, oh, like, now close your arm. And then a hand in a suitcase, and he's holding his attaché case like this and his heavy suitcases. And he's running down like this with a Bhagavatam under his arm. I mean, I've done it hundreds of times. You know, if he wouldn't open his, I said, put it in your suitcase. No, it's jam-packed. I can't open it. You know, this, that. I said, okay, well, I'll just put it on your arm. And the guy's going like this. And gets $10. So we did so many funny things. And we were successful by Krishna's grace also. But I watched my godbrother. He was just really quiet. He wasn't moving. He was just standing there, just had the book. And he was such a big book distributor. And I realized that his secret of success was his purity. That he was just, you know, absorbed in praying to Krishna, and just that Krishna was making everything happen for him. Because he's a very serious and genuine devotee, and so he was very effective without any fanfare or big show or anything. Purity is a force. Because anything that's really genuine will stand on its own. It doesn't need any promotion. Like some shop sells all items cooked in pure ghee. Their fame will spread. My Prabhupada tells this story. If you cook all the food in pure ghee and it The food will sell itself. And people say, oh, you have to go to this shop. There's this one jalebi shop in Chandichok. You go to Chandichok, there's this famous jalebi shop, and they have the best jalebis in India. They don't have a sign. There's no sign on the shop. It's all covered with ghee. They painted its sign in 1927, and now it's full of smoke and ghee. You can't read it. And the guy sells like 2 lakhs worth of, you know, makes 2 lakhs a day selling jalebis. And never advertised, never went on television or anything like this. Because it's something genuine. He doesn't have to have people going and canvassing for him. Oh, you know, my guru's this and that, and, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, you know. Big hoopla and big advertising and, you know, Goodyear blimps and helium balloons and big satellite, you know, floodlights going back and forth across the sky. Simply, if someone speaks pure Harikatha, then people become attracted. I know there's one guru, he has many disciples, and day and night the guru's disciples are listening to tapes of some other guru. I asked him, I said, well, what are you listening to? Oh, this so-and-so. And I said, acha? I said, what about your guru's tapes? Oh, no, he's my guru, but I like too much this other guru's, you know, his pravachana is too good. So you preach whatever you realize, you preach. Don't try to fake it. That's the main thing. Be sincere and be genuine, then your preaching will be effective. The backing behind your words, that's what influences people. So you saw everyone, you know, we should follow these principles, rise early, you know, probably say we should get up at 4 o'clock. Last night, what time do you get up? Oh, me, I get up at 6. Oh, do you follow the 4 principles? No, you know, my husband, you know, this and that. And, you know, I have to eat onions and garlic, and, you know, drink a little wine once in a while. And what are you telling me for? So it's the most impressive, when people would meet Hare Krishna devotees, the thing that impressed them most was not what they said, but when they told them about how they lived, especially in the West, because it was such an unusual lifestyle. To tell everyone they're not the body and all that didn't really touch their hearts. But when the devotees said, you know, you should rise early in the morning, don't waste your life, get up early and serve God. Well, what time do you people get up? 4 a.m. 4 a.m.? Actually, we're getting up at 3 on the temple, because 4:15 is Mangalarti. 3 o'clock? I'm just coming home from the disco at 3 o'clock. I'm just taking rest. I take rest at 12:01, practically. When I'm taking rest, you're getting up January. Really? And then we follow, you should live a pure life. You should live a pure life. If you want to realize God and understand God, you have to be pure. You have to follow these principles to become purified. Oh, what are those principles? No fish, eggs, meat, coffee, tea, onions, garlic. What? How do you live? It's impossible. You can't live without these things. Really, people do that? Oh, I'm very impressed. People are impressed just by that. By the lifestyle. Philosophy is another thing. Someone, you say, are you Punjabi? Yeah, I'm Punjabi. You don't drink? You don't eat onion garlic? Are you crazy? Are you alive? You're not a Punjabi. How do you carry on? I mean, how do you go to the parties? How do you go to the weddings? You know? So I don't go to too many. With every party, every wedding, every event is onions and garlic. Guaranteed. That's the minimum. Minimum fare. What to speak of? Whiskey and beer and wine and everything else. Gaur Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. So there was one Narsingha Guru, and you can just be a little baby cub. Father was a lion, but doesn't mean the baby's a lion. Baby may be a mouse. Baby cub. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya vipadakshanti te gyanam gyaninas tatvadarshana. Krishna says pranipatena. Before one has any access to Guru, one has to submit himself. Pranipatena means to lie like a stick in front of the Guru. And then, if one submits himself, submits his mind and has vishwas, faith, Guru vishwas, faith in Guru's life, faith in his achar and prachar, then he can ask prashna, questions. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya. Then if he does seva, then he'll get answers to his questions. If you only ask questions, you're submissive and you have faith and you only ask questions. If you don't serve, you won't get answers. It's a three-pronged approach. Krishna explains in chapter 4 of Gita, verse 34. Surrender to Guru, submit to Guru, serve, ask questions and serve him. The service is a dakshin. That's the dakshin, doing service. Then you get vigyan, realization. Vigyan brings change of consciousness. Change of consciousness brings change of behavior. Change of behavior leads one on the path of liberation. Right? No seva, no vigyan. More seva, more vigyan.